Welcome and good morning, everyone. So today we return to standard time from daylight time. And if you didn't get up at 2 o'clock this morning and set your clocks back to 1 o'clock, you may have gotten here an hour early and wondered where everybody was. I remember about 50 years ago, back when I was about 25, I got up one Sunday morning and I got dressed and I went to church, only to find that there was no one there. I panicked. I thought the rapture had come and I was left behind. Well, dejected, I went back home, and when I opened the Sunday paper, there it was on the front page. Spring forward, fall back. The time had changed. I made my way back to church and sure enough, everybody was there. So welcome everyone. Let's take a few moments and greet each other. You can use the board to type a greeting or leave a comment about how you're feeling on this bright and sunny and glorious day. Well, thank you, everyone. At this time, we always give a brief explanation of the purpose of Awakening Together. And Jay is our admin this morning, so he may put up a link where you can access our purpose and values. We are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And you may read more about our purpose and values on our website. And for those who are listening in on the radio, it's www.awakening-together.org. And then look under About Us and purpose and values. We have five basic core values, and together they make up a guide for living a life that is awakening to the truth that we feel at the center of our being, in our heart. At the end of each core value, in the second sentence, we state how we live that core value. Listen to the values that we live by. We live by these values: by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. We live these core values by practicing letting go of belief in the individual self as who we are. We live these values by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. We live these values by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. We live these values by practicing or by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. I'd like to relate these practices of living by a story that I recently heard. On a country road, there is a field with two horses in it. From a distance, each horse looks very like any other horse. But if you stop your car, or if you're walking by, you will notice something quite amazing. Looking into the eyes of one horse, you will discover that he is blind. His owner has chosen not to have him put down, but has made a good home for him. This alone is amazing. And if you stand nearby and listen, you will hear the sound of a bell. Looking around for the source of the sound, you will see that it comes from the smaller horse in the field. Attached to the horse's halter is a small bell. It lets the blind friend know where the other horse is, so he can follow. And as you stand and watch these two friends, you'll see that the horse with the bell is always checking on the blind horse, and that the blind horse will listen for the bell and then slowly walk to where the other horse is, trusting that he will not be led astray. When the horse with the bell returns to the shelter of the barn each evening, it stops occasionally and looks back, making sure that the blind friend isn't too far behind to hear the bell. Well, like the owners of these two horses, God does not throw us away just because we are not perfect or because we have challenges or problems. He watches over us and even brings us others into our lives to help us when we are in need. Sometimes we are the blind horse being guided by the little ringing bell of those who God places in our lives, and other times we are the guide horse helping others to find their way. Good friends are like that. You may not always see them, but you know they are always there. Please listen for my bell, and I'll listen for yours. And remember, be kinder than necessary. Everyone you meet is fighting some kind of battle. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly. We listen to each other as in our core value. We respect each other. We allow each other to be where he or she is, and we support each other on our different paths of awakening. For we live by faith, not by sight. Before we get started, I have a couple of announcements to make. Regina Dawn Akers is in India right now, this month. She's on a volunteer service pilgrimage with global volunteers, along with a number of others from the U.S. and from Awakening Together. For 2 weeks, they will be providing services to the children in India in areas of child nutrition, health and hygiene, and general education. The third week will be spent near the Ramana Ashram during the Deepam Festival, the most important festival of the year in South India. And another announcement, the Awakening Together Board of Directors would like to congratulate and welcome the recent graduates of the True Discernment class, and that's phase one of the ministerial program in the ministerial preparation program. And among those successfully completing this phase of the program are Lynn Johnson and Jay McCormick, where they are now licensed ministers in the Awakening Together, and that qualifies them to conduct services in our sanctuary assemblies. Lynn will be here presiding next week on November 10th, and Jay will be presiding here the following week on December 17th. And I'll be back here on November 24th, and Regina will return on December 1st. Well, now is the time that we have our opening song. I've selected a piece from Deep Breakfast, and it's entitled Celestial Soda Pop.
Thank you.
I love that music from Ray Lynch. It's an album that I've really enjoyed over the years, Deep Breakfast, and the tune was Celestial Soda Pop. So for our morning prayer, I'd like to play some background music and lead you through a meditative quieting time. While the music plays, let's just quiet our minds. And you may have your eyes open or closed, it doesn't matter. But if you're going to do this while you're driving your car, please don't close your eyes. This is quite simple. Just bring yourself into the present with your body as it breathes. And that's how simple it is. Your body is breathing. When you go too far into the mind, in a subtle way, your body feels abandoned by you. But when you're present, aware of the body breathing, the body feels, oh good, she's back. I'm not alone. It's actually very comforting for your body when you're present, the body breathing. You're not efforting. You're just present, the body breathing. Present with the sounds that you hear in this moment. And in this moment. And again in this moment. Present with the feeling of air on your face or your hands. Just present with what is here. Then ask yourself, who's present with what is here? You might answer, in this moment, I am. I am. I am a silent moment of pure consciousness. I am that silence of pure consciousness. I am that I am. And if a thought comes in, don't struggle against that. Just notice thinking, and then come back to your body, breathing, back to the sound. While you're present for a moment, you are an awakened being. It is such a gift to be present. When you're present, you are with God's creation. When it's appropriate, you can go back to thinking, and then you'll be with your creation. The only gift that we can bring to God is our presence, God consciousness. No one is here, only God. Christ said, I and my Father are one. With consciousness, I can say God and I are one. Present with what's here, what's now. And when you're ready, just open your eyes and we'll continue. For our inspirational reading by a member today, I've selected a passage from Journey Into Now, Clear Guidance on the Path of Spiritual Awakening by Leonard Jacobson. Barbara DeWater has volunteered to be our reader today. Barbara, also known as Barbara D, is in the gathering room on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time and on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. So, Barbara, I'll turn the mic over to you.
Okay, can everyone hear me okay? somebody could say yes, that would be great. Okay, thank you, Christian. Okay, the reading from today, the reading from today is Journey Into Now, Clear Guidance on the Path of Spiritual Awakening by Leonard Jacobson. Okay, let me check my volume levels. Okay, is that better? That should be... Yeah, great. Okay, apparently my mic levels were kind of low. Okay, great. Thank you. There are two worlds. The world of now, capital N now, and the world of time. Many people are afraid to awaken. They believe that if they awaken fully, they will no longer be able to function in the world of time. There is a certain level of presence where this is true. It is possible to be so fully present that time disappears. There is absolutely no sense of life outside of this moment. There is no sense of yourself outside of this moment. It is an experience of heaven on earth, which is exquisite beyond imagining. This is a most exalted state of consciousness. You are fully immersed in the moment of now, experiencing oneness and the eternal. You are immersed in the mystery of existence. It is profoundly blissful, and you feel intoxicated with love. But at this level of consciousness, it is impossible to live in the world of time, because there is no time. Life, as you have known it, has disappeared. There is no way to engage in anything outside of the moment. And so I recommend a softer version of enlightenment, one which allows for the world of time to coexist gently with the timeless world of now. There is no reason why you cannot bring these two worlds into balance and harmony. You must master the art of moving easily between the timeless world of now and the world of time, but in such a way that you never really disconnect from the present moment. Presence does not take away your life within the world of time. It enhances it. Presence does not mean that you can no longer think. It means that you think more clearly, setting the intention to awaken. As a part of the awakening process, you must set the right intention. Intend to be present many times each day, so that eventually the present moment will become the very ground and field of your existence. Unless being present is the first priority in your life, you cannot awaken. Your second intention is that when you do play within the world of time, which takes you into the mind with all its storylines, thoughts, ideas, concepts, opinions, and beliefs, you will not become identified with it. You will not believe any of it as the truth. The past is gone. The future will never arrive. You know that only this moment is the truth of life. I do not mean to imply that life at the level of mind should cease. This is not possible or desirable. What is possible, however, is that we become so awake and deeply grounded in the present moment that we never lose our connection with the truth of life, even when we do venture into the world of the mind. The third intention that must be embraced deeply is to bring conscious awareness to how and when you are pulled out of presence. This will lead to mastery of the mind and ego. The fourth intention in this process of awakening is the intention to live as an expression of love and truth, even when you are functioning within the world of time. No longer functioning as an ego living in a world of separation, you now exist and express yourself in perfect alignment with the impersonal and eternal dimension of yourself. The fifth intention is to master the art of balance as you live in a world of duality within the world of time. This can be accomplished by transcending judgment. In the present moment, there are no problems. There are only situations in which to respond. When you are present, you are free of limitations from the past, and so your response is always appropriate, uncomplicated, and effective. Even if your car is stalled at a railway crossing and the train is approaching, you do not have a problem. You have a present moment situation to respond to. An awakened life. One who is awake or enlightened lives predominantly in the present moment. The present moment is always recognized as the truth of life, even when entering into the mind and functioning within the world of time. An enlightened person lives in a state of love and acceptance. The illusion of separation has dissolved. He or she lives with a strong sense of the oneness of all things. An enlightened person lives without judgment, fear, and desire. There is a continuing awareness of the impersonal or eternal dimension of existence. He or she is compassionate and always acts with integrity. It is impossible to be dishonest. One who is truly enlightened sees all others as equal. This extends to animals and the world of nature. It is impossible for an enlightened person to intentionally harm another. Beyond change. In the midst of constant change, an enlightened person knows himself or herself as the one who never changes. Abundance. The present moment is always presenting you with infinite treasures, which will fill you with delight. Be present with the sun setting over a distant mountain, or a bird soaring into a cloudless sky. Be present with the waves lapping against the shore, a river flowing, a flower blooming. Be present with the gentle glow of a full moon upon the ocean. Be present with a child laughing, a leaf falling, a bird singing. Be present with thunder and lightning. If your focus is on the abundance of God's natural world, then every aspect of your life will be full and abundant. Express yourself. When you are fully present, there is no expression. You are perfectly silent and immersed in the moment of now. It is a state of isness. You have transcended your individuality. Your individuality arises in your expression. It is in your expression that you are revealed as unique. That's the end of the reading this morning. If my printer copied all the pages it was supposed to. Thank you very much, and I'm giving the mic back to Phil.
Well, thank you, Barbara, for that beautiful reading from Journey Into Now, Clear Guidance on the Path of Spiritual Awakening by Leonard Jacobson. So today I'd like to talk to you about time and the present moment of now and presence. You know, I've always been fascinated with time. with the great sidereal movements by which time is reckoned, with concepts of past and future and present, with the eternal now, with the illusion of time, with timekeeping and time clocks, like I like sundials and watches and animated cuckoo clocks, and the pendulum clocks, the grandfather clocks with their ticking, their chimes. And speaking of time, one of my favorite Paraprosdokians is time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like a banana. You might have to think about that one for a minute. And what are Paraprosdokians? Well, they are figures of speech in which the latter part of a sentence or phrase is surprising or unexpected, frequently humorous. Another example of a Paraprosdokian is, you do not need a parachute to skydive. You only need a parachute if you want to skydive twice. Or another one is, hickory dickory dock, two mice ran up the clock. The clock struck one, but the other got away. Anyway, time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like a banana. So, time is an illusion. My wife Judy and I are both artists, and in fact, we met at a watercolor workshop in the Bahamas over 20 years ago. We both remarked about how time disappears when you're in your right brain doing a painting. We'll be working on a painting and totally engrossed, and then look up at a clock and notice that suddenly a few hours have passed without our even realizing it. Time seems to have stopped while we were lost in the creative process. The same thing happens, seems to happen when I'm in meditation. As Kermit the Frog says, time's what fun when you're having flies. So, recently I've expanded my artistic endeavors to include collage and assemblage, or assemblage. Assemblage is a three-dimensional or freestanding collage made with objects glued together. I recently held a workshop for our local collage society where we made clocks using e-waste or old computer parts and a battery-operated quartz timepiece. One of my clock pieces, based on the famous Joseph Cornell boxes, is currently on display in a Denver art gallery. It's entitled, If I Could Save Time in a Box. It's a takeoff on A Time in a Bottle. But in truth, in reality, time never began. There was no Big Bang 14 billion years ago. But don't tell that to Sheldon Cooper or Leonard or Raj or Howard or Penny. In reality, this may be a controversial statement in the scientific community, but in the spiritual community, where we acknowledge that all is an illusion, there was no Big Bang. Actually, the Big Bang is occurring now, in every moment. The universe is constantly being created new and fresh at every instant. Sometimes we call it the holy instant, every instant of now. At first, these may be difficult concepts to grasp. There is never any past, there is never any future. There is only eternal now, always, forever. It's always now. It's never not now. You can't go back to the past. You can't relive the past. You can't correct any errors residing in the past. The past is gone. It doesn't exist. And since there is no past, there is no sin from which to be saved. Likewise, there is no future. Time travel is an impossibility. One can never go back to the future. And time warps, such as in Star Trek, are illusions. And since there is no future, there is no afterlife reward to get in heaven. Heaven is always found right here, right now. What we consider to be the past is only a memory stored in our mind that is only retrieved in the present. We can never go back and correct anything in the past. We can only deal with past memory in the present. We do not need to go to a therapist and unravel all of our past experiences in detail, hoping to resolve the insanity that they may have created. We just need to accept the atonement in the present moment and let go of that memory. And since there is no future, we never need to plan for the future. If it's said that if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Oh, sure, we can set goals and make plans, but all of that is only done in the present. And if we decide to go on a trip, we can do all the ne th things necessary to prepare for that trip. We can buy an airline ticket, we can pack a suitcase, but all of those things are always done in the present. We maybe even want to buy trip insurance in case things don't work out as we planned. We may dream about being on a sunny beach in Hawaii, but even that is done. The dream is done in the present, and we can't actually be on that beach until the appropriate moment in the present. Now, I don't want to go too deeply here, but I'd like to go through an exercise with you for a few moments about time. Time is now. Notice that right now it is now. Pretty obvious, right? In fact, the fact that it is now, right now, is so obvious, so out in the open, it is usually not even noticed. So one reason why now can be overlooked is that it seems to become elusive. One cannot grasp the now when one tries to think about it. And it's exactly the same as pure aware consciousness or presence, which can't be grasped by thinking either. This now, that awareness now, simply cannot be held onto by thinking. And there's a good reason now. Why? Now is now. Now is not any time. Now is no time. Meanwhile, thinking always takes time. Time occurs in time. Thinking occurs in time. Thinking about what this very statement says takes time. Even if thoughts happen super fast, that still takes some time. So the fact that all thinking takes time means thinking never experiences now or no time. Notice that now simply cannot be accessed by way of thinking. It's not supposed to be. Yet, here now, unfailingly is being now, right now, as awareness or consciousness. Often it is said, be present in the moment. Usually, however, this is considered to be a kind of brief moment that is experienced between past and future. Now is said to be a fleeting instant in the flow of time. This is how now, or the present, generally has been understood by humans. But I'd like to contrast the concept of now with time. Now is awareness or consciousness. When it is clear that now is the same as life's ever-present awareness, now is seen in an entirely different light. So I'd like to have you imagine an old-style clock. The clock face is white with big numbers on it, and just above the surface of the white face are the clock hands, moving around the face in a circle. The main thing to notice here is that the clock hands never stop moving. They're in a continuous flow. In contrast, the clock face never moves. It's stable. It's always the same. It's changeless. Now, this isn't a perfect example, but when it comes to now, treat now like the white clock face. The hands of the clock appear to move on the surface, but the clock face itself is not in that surface movement. In the same way, there is no now in the movement of time. Now is not a super brief instant in time's flow, because now is not in time's flow. Now is totally outside of time. To be clear about now, separate it from thinking, because thinking is of time. Thinking, too, always moves like on the surface, like the clock hands. Stop and notice that the capacity of awareness to be present now is not controlled by or influenced by thinking. Thinking cannot think now into being present. Now is present before thinking thinks, and whether thinking thinks or not. No amount of thinking can make now not be present now either. In the same way, no amount of thinking can make life's pure awareness not be present now. Often it is said, live in the now, or stay in the present, or as Ram Dass put it, be here now. Living in the now isn't something you do. Now is what you effortlessly are, as ever-present awareness. This doesn't mean one won't make plans or have goals. It doesn't mean one won't have memories. It's just clear that life is always now when these things are happening. While there still seems to be thoughts in terms of past and future, no longer is there any attempt to live in the past or future. The goal of the awakening mind is to avoid thinking and just focus on being. Thinking is usually dwelling on the past or planning the future. Thinking often involves judgments or valuing. In the book, A Journey Beyond Words, a companion to the workbook of the Course by Brent Haskell, we read, whenever you catch yourself valuing, feeling the need to defend what you think you are, or feeling the need to preserve the plan that you have made in the future, whenever you feel that struggling within, pause for a moment and imagine what it would be like if you did not have that fear and did not have that need to preserve your future. And as you do that, you will, bit by bit, feel freedom seeping into your soul. It is true that time is an illusion, a trick, a sleight of hand. You could, indeed, release all those fears now, this instant. But to the extent that one of your greatest values is the belief in time, then you may choose to have this take time. That is quite all right, for you are free. When I suggest that you will slowly feel freedom seeping into your soul, that is my acknowledgement for that you may choose to value your time. Always realize, however, that it is not necessary to do so. You are free, and you could at any time release time itself. So try, whenever you can, to imagine not valuing. And as you do that, try to let the experience flow. Almost as a daydream about the freedom that shall come to you. In the book Journey Into Now, it says, we are always on a journey of becoming that which we already are. That is the impossible paradox of our lives. The journey is from here to here. The only time you can arrive is now. The past is gone. The future never arrives. In truth, there is no life outside this moment. There are always two possibilities in any moment of your life. Either you are fully present, or you are here in the mind, as Barbara read this morning. When you are present, you are in a state of consciousness. You are here now. You are experiencing the truth and reality of the present moment. The illusion of separation has dissolved, and you are in a state of inner silence, relating moment to moment to that which is here, now, with you. When you are in the mind, you have slipped from the present moment into the illusory world. When you are in the mind, you are somewhere in the past or the future. You are not here now. You are in your imagination. What you are experiencing is not real. You have made a world of illusion using the power of thought, memory, and imagination. You are in a world of images. You are imaging the world. You believe the world you imagine. Beliefs cause perceptions, and perceptions cause projections, and projections reinforce your beliefs. It's a vicious cycle. You believe, you perceive, you project, and your projections reinforce your beliefs. And to break out of that cycle, you must continue your imagining or thinking and return to being fully present in the now. One can be present in the now by being the observer. Just simply watch what the body is doing. So, for example, when you're brushing your teeth, be with that experience totally. Feel the brush against the inside of your cheek, against the tongue. Feel your hand guiding the brush. Taste the toothpaste. What flavor is it? Listen to the water. Observe the foam in the sink when you spit the toothpaste out. Use all of your senses as you are observing everything the body does while you're doing habitual tasks like showering or dressing or washing dishes. Try singing in the shower, but don't think, just be. As often as you can, live in the present moment of now. Oh, think when you need to, like when you're driving a car and you have to be alert to the traffic and the rules. But when you're performing menial tasks, let all thinking subside and just watch your body as an observer. I'd like to conclude with a quote from A Course in Miracles, where it discusses time. In the text, Chapter 27, Section 8, Paragraph 6, it says, into eternity, where all is one, there crept a tiny, mad idea, at which the Son of God remembered not to laugh. In his forgetting did the thought become a serious idea, and possible of both accomplishment and real effects. Together, we can laugh both away and understand that time cannot intrude upon eternity. It is a joke to think that time can come to circumvent eternity, which means there is no time. This is a time for meditation or contemplation. And during this interlude of music, you may wish to reflect on the message about time and the eternal moment of now. This is also a time when we take up an offering. We pass the plate, so to speak. Jay will post a link where you may make a donation to Awakening Together. We deeply appreciate your gifts and offerings. They help support the organization Awakening Together. We acknowledge that all giving comes from the hearts of our members and friends, and we thank you. Okay, well now we have about 15 or 10 or 12 minutes to devote to sharing. And I'd like to invite you to share your thoughts and ask questions based on today's teaching about time or anything else that you'd like to talk about. Just raise your hand and I will pass the mic over to you. So Jay reminds me that we have about 206 members in our organization now, just 14 new members in the past 2 weeks. And if you'd like to become a member of Awakening Together, Jay has just posted a link to the website where you can become a member. So I invite you to go ahead and access that link and sign up to become a member. Is there anyone that would like to take the mic and share for a few moments about anything that you'd like to share about? Okay, Jay, go ahead and take the mic, please.
I really appreciated your sharing about how it really is now, that this love is present and that our wholeness and perfection is realized, and that how can something become something it already is. And then looking at Dove's new handle, Peace Now, it just was a neat tie-in because you know how Dove's writing on there, the immediacy of salvation, it takes no time, and I'm sure Dove is using his experiences right now to remember that. And there, it was just a beautiful sharing how. Oh, Susie didn't know that was Dove. Yeah, Dove has reincarnated as Peace Now in the room, Susie. So I really appreciated your sharing and your stories, and that's neat. You're doing the three-dimensional collages and stuff. I'd love to see some pictures of your work, Phil, if you wanted to post that on Facebook. I'm sure a lot of us would be interested in seeing what wonderful things you're creating. But I just enjoyed hearing your voice, Phil, and I'm so glad you're here teaching. I just appreciate you a lot, and the more I get to know you, the more I really love you, and I'm glad you're here. So thank you again, Phil.
Okay, well, thank you, Jay. I appreciate your comments. Thank you very much. So, is there anyone else that would like to take the mic and do a little sharing, your thoughts or your experiences? We still have 5 or 6 minutes for sharing in this segment of our sanctuary service this morning, so don't be shy. Just go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll pass the mic on over to you. Okay, thank you, Barb. Go ahead and take the mic.
Well, so I really enjoyed today's presentation because, and the topic of being in the now, because I'm finding more and more as I'm on this, like, feeling like I'm going over the cliff, that being present now is so much more important, to just be focusing on now and the little thoughts in the back of your mind, back of my mind, that are saying, you know, what's going to happen in 6 months? What's going to happen? You know, this is blah, you know, all these doom and gloom thoughts that are coming through my mind, the thinking mind. So what I'm finding is I'm giving less power to those thoughts. So they come in and I let them go. They'll still come in, but I don't have to pay attention to them. So living now and not being concerned about what will happen, because you really don't know. You really don't know. And so all we can really live for is now. And because when you have living in the future, we're living for the future and planning for the future, which is what I've always done, is there's a disappointment there when it doesn't turn out the way you want it to, the way the ego wants it to. So there's sometimes it actually does turn out the way the ego wants it to, but there's always going to be something else to be done. So it's never-ending battle of trying to get your way. And it's the whole seek but do not find. And so what Dove always talks about is trusting. And so when you live in the now, you're in that place of you're in that place of trust. And that's what living in the now to me is all about. And as Susie is saying, let yourself free fall over the cliff. That spirit is your parachute, and it's very freeing. So I find, surrender and trust. Well, surrender has been my more difficult one, but it's slowly creeping up on me is what I would want to say on surrender. And really living in the now is a form, to me, I'm just saying this now, to me living in the now is a form of surrender. So anyway, I'm going to let the mic go, but thank you for letting me include this in the morning service.
Well, thank you, Barb, and thank you for reading this morning. You did a wonderful job in reading the portion of the talk that was concentrating on the awakening in the now and being present, and I appreciate your reading and your comments, your sharing with us this morning. Thank you so much. So we still have a few minutes if someone else would like to take the mic and share. I like the comments about trusting spirit, living in the moment, living in the now. In truth, we are pretty much automatic bodies living on the planet and interacting with all of the other bodies and situations and circumstances. And it's like there are so many synchronicities where things just seem to happen, and they happen automatically without our planning or working or trying. And I've been experiencing more and more of just letting things go in the flow. Sometimes in the morning I get up, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I will just trust spirit to lead or to guide. So I'll go out in the backyard and open the door and look around, and not knowing what the work holds for me to do today, I'll just sort of let spirit guide in whatever happens to that I see that needs to be done. And pretty soon I find myself doing this and that and taking care of work that needs to be done in the garden or the orchard or the backyard. And it just all flows automatically without my having to plan or think or try to come up with something that I need to work on. It just happens. And I find that so frequently with things when you don't really have a schedule or a plan or a goal to achieve. Everything happens anyway. It just is all automatic. And sure, we have our routines that we go through. Every day we get up and do the routines that are necessary for dressing or showering or shaving or whatever the routine calls for. But if we, and a lot of us have jobs that we have to go to and be sometime, somewhere. But if we just let things flow automatically without trying to think, we find that everything is really so automatic. It's really wonderful just to live and be in the spirit as much as possible. Well, I appreciate all of you being here this morning, and it's time now for our closing song. So I've chosen another song that fits in with our time. This is Time in a Bottle. So when Judy and I got married 20 years ago, this is a song that we had played at our wedding. You're the one that I want to go through time with. And in my younger years, I had a good singing voice, and I sang this song to my bride at the wedding. So thanks again for your attendance today, and many thanks to our reading assistant, Barbara DeWarder, and the administrator, Jay McCormick. Please stay if you can and join us for an hour of fellowship following immediately right here in this room, and I will release the mic to you, Jay.